And so Gordon spoke about the importance of coming together here to pray before the meeting. And that during that time we hear what God is saying. And sometimes that time of intercession can actually give us a direction of how the meeting is going to happen. And sometimes it can actually change the message if that's what God is saying. And so to what was happening as we were singing, basically this is what God dropped on my heart, and different from what actually happened in the morning today. And so for those of you who may have been here, this is slightly different. And you might wonder, but what has happened? It's because God speaks to us for different contexts. And so as we were singing, something that came to mind as we were singing the songs was that some of us are actually struggling with issues now. And we are asking questions. God, why me? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Why all these things? And in the songs that we sang, the first one which ministered to me very much was, thank you very much. Was we are looking for answers which only God can provide. And I don't know, probably you are one of them. You have so many questions. You are looking for answers everywhere, but from God. The answers for everything that we go through is found in God's word. Through this community, through the church, look nowhere else but from God. And again, through those songs, the answers are from God, because in one of the songs is that because he is great. He is a great God. And this is a declaration of the awesomeness of God, the power of God, the sovereignty of God. He is a God that needs no one to advise him. He consults nobody, because he knows all things, and all things were created for him. He has answers for you because he's great. He can deal with your situation because he is great. And so we need to commit ourselves to this God because he's powerful. And if you agree with me, let's put our hands together to the great God. I like that whistle. Okay, thank you very much. And so we begin, I think, looking at what the Lord has impressed on us. And looking at a few weeks ago, and in fact, time to time we meet as elders, as a team of elders here, and quite often we also meet as full-time elders for this congregation. And so we talk about what we're going to share, in most cases, what we feel God is saying. And so we saw that, I think even last week, Yanku was led, and we're talking about the issues of discipleship, and he did a profound job to look at how we can be accountable to one another, and that growth, spiritual growth, is our responsibility, and we need to be proactive in trying to make sure that we are on the same page with what God is actually doing and helping one another. And so within that context of helping one another, discipleship is a subject that was led to me that I actually have to share. And this is a very, very important subject. It's not considered and probably spoken about in depth in the church, and probably even here we haven't dealt with it so much. But by the grace of God, I think we'll deal with it today. And this is the subject of offense. So I'm talking about offense this morning. It sounds like it's a small thing. It's actually a big thing. And this thing may actually disturb the church, can destroy the church, families, because of offense. And offense is something that we see also in Scripture. It has been talked about by Jesus Christ, by the disciples, directly or indirectly. And as we are looking at this, the passage that comes into my mind, and we're looking at God because He must be our model, is Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And in verse 18, we hear God saying, "Come, we reason together. Even if your sins are as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Okay? And then I think for me there, I see a picture. It's not there. It's not part of what I prepared, but that's something that just dropped on my heart. But for me, when I see that passage, what comes into my mind is a God who is powerful and good, a God who, even when He is offended, even when He is disrespected, even when He is not honored, even though He deserves to be honored, He still takes a step to come and to follow those that have disrespected Him, those that have dishonored Him. And He says, "Come, let us reason together." What a God. And I want us to have that posture, each one of us as children of the living God, taking from Him and doing things like Him when we are in a place where we feel actually offended. And let's go to scriptures for this morning. And I'm going to read three passages. And all these passages, in one way or another, are actually pointing or dealing with the issue of offense in the community of believers. And I'll tackle them properly. And so Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 24 to 27, I'm reading from the NIV. This is what the Bible says. "Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." And Paul is talking about falsehood, he's talking about speaking to one another truthfully. You know how these things, if there's falsehood, what actually happens is we injure each other and we do things that are not supposed to be done. And this can bring offense in the community and in the family of believers. In verse 26, this is what Paul says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." Again, this is a picture. This is a picture of how we must quickly deal with things that annoy us. That we should not wait for another day before we can deal with them. Now, when we are reading this, it almost feels like Paul is saying, okay, if you are offended in the morning, then you can wait until just before sunset and then deal with the thing. I think that is not what Paul is saying here. This is figurative language. What he is referring to here is that it must be dealt with as soon as possible. It should not be something that you sit on and reflect and rethink and digest. It must be dealt with immediately. And he says further there, "And do not give the devil a foothold." And if this is connected to anger and how long it takes for you to deal with anger or offense, Paul putting this verse or this statement simply means these issues of offense or anger, if not checked and dealt with quickly, can open the door for the enemy, the devil. And he can mess up with your life. He can mess up with the community of believers. And in the context of the church, and in the context of discipleship, this is very important. As we are looking at how we open lives to one another, and we are holding ourselves accountable, there will obviously be moments when we have rubbed shoulders on different sides. But how do we deal with those things? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. This is what it says. It's within this context of believers. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So again, Paul is writing to who? Believers. He is not writing to non-believers. It's the family of God. And sometimes we have an assumption when we come to church, this is the church and everything must go on. There should be no offense. There should be no difference, misunderstanding. No, that is not true. Paul is writing to believers filled with the Holy Spirit. He recognizes that these things are going to happen in the body of Christ. But when they happen, this is what should be prevailing. And I think under everything, we must realize God is saying we must put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, I've said this maybe in this context or somewhere else, if there's something that this generation doesn't take well, are these two things. To tell them endurance and patience, that is a bad idea. Because our generation doesn't think that endurance and patience are virtues. It is a weakness. And so everything must be done now and now. I mean, years ago, I think it's not very common, but there used to be a ministry called Teens Mission. And secondary school pupils, when they finish high school, they would actually be recruited or maybe enlisted, and they would go to do those challenges and learn how to endure and how to serve God. And some of them, when they came from there, they had learned a lot of things. And probably this time, we don't do as much. Can I tell you? It's a good virtue to be a patient person. It's not a weakness. It's a virtue to be able to endure for some time. And some of us take pride in being impatient. It's not. The Bible talks about being patient. If we are patient with one another, then we'll deal with offense very well, amicably, and to the glory of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, this is what it says. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And as I read this passage, something comes into my mind, and this has to do with those people that believe. And if you are here, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to stop it. This passage is rarely quoted sometimes by some of us that believe in the send back to the sender. Dangerous prayers, number two. Okay. So we think that we're, as believers, we have the right. And if somebody has sent something bad to me and they have wished me something bad, I should actually send it back to them. And what they wished me should go back to them. And so if they wished me death, then the Lord, by prayer, it should go back to them. And then that way of thinking is actually vengeance. It's not right. And in the name of Jesus, stop it. It doesn't come from God. And if it doesn't come from God, you know where it comes from. From the pit of hell. And you know who the Father is. Our role when we look at this is that God is the one that knows and he's the one that should avenge, not you and me. Our role, that's what the Bible says. If somebody hits you here, what do? Give them the other side. Jesus Christ was teaching and he said, you know, love your enemies. Pray for them, isn't it? So when they're hungry, do what? Give them food. That is our role. And then we leave everything to our God. And probably you're wondering, what has this to do with offense? Everything. Everything. Because when you are offended, what comes into your mind, I'll deal with her. I'll deal with him, because we want them to be punished. And when we do that, we are actually sitting in the place of God. And you are not God. That's serious, indirect blasphemy against our God. And so when we look at all these passages, and they are actually passages coming from three books, and I just want to give you a context here, and this is very important. And so Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, he's writing to the Colossian church believers, and he's writing to the Roman church. Three. Now, the way God used Paul, who was actually privileged to be a Pharisee, God gave him a very good background. The Pharisees at that time were very educated. They were men that spent time in reading the word. They memorized the Old Testament. They memorized the Torah. They were men that were responsible during that time to teach people and model Judaism to the people. And Paul also had the privilege of going to the most prestigious school at that particular time, the school of Gamaliel. It was the best, probably, theological training place, and he went there, and when he graduated, he was schooled in the head. He was zealous for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, when he came, using the privilege that he had to be exposed to that, used him to write scriptures. So he used his gift. He used the privilege that was exposed to him so that he can bring the teaching to the people of God. And so when he is writing his books, this is how he pens his letters. And just pay attention to them. He begins by telling us who you are, what God is, and how he has come to us. The relationship that comes because of his grace, his mercy. And almost in Ephesians, you look at that, he's beginning with doctrine. He's teaching about God, his grace, his mercies, how we can be related to him, how we can become children of God. And then, towards the end, like in Ephesians, when he begins chapter 4, he is saying, because we are this, because God has done this to us, therefore we must be this. Because God has saved you by grace, because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have faith, therefore, this is the thing. It's like each time he is writing, he is saying, because we are this, this is how we must live. He's answering a question, how then shall we live after God has done this? It's the practicality of everything. And so this is what we see in Romans. This is what we see in Ephesians. This is what we see. If you read, you are going to see that. Romans actually carries us up to chapter 11. And then in chapter 12, he's telling us now, this is how we must be. Therefore, we must offer ourselves as living sacrifices because of what God has done. Colossians does that as well. So as believers, there's an expectation of how we must conduct ourselves in the church. And in this case, we're looking at this aspect. How should we then behave as believers when this thing happens, the issue of offense? I'm not trying to define offense and all that. I think we understand this subject very well. But at the end of this message, I'd like us to know and to go home and knowing what offense is, how we get offended, and how we must deal with offense, the reality of offense. It's not something we must ignore, but how can we deal with this thing according to Scripture? All right? So let's begin by answering the first question. Why do people get offended? Okay, offense is there. Why do you get offended? Here's one of the things. Okay, so offense can be caused by various things. Factors including clashes of expectations. I think you are picking it. And the person's maybe insecurity. Perceived insults. We're using the word perceived there. Perceived. There might not be a reality there in terms of insults. I'll break down those things later on. Person's values and beliefs. At a time when we feel that our values and beliefs have been threatened, we get offended. I'll deal with that as well, a bit in a bit of depth. It's often rooted in the mismatch between someone's expectations of what is right, acceptable, or moral, and the actions or words they actually encounter. Okay? So offense comes because of these things. And so when your belief system is threatened, when your expectations are not met or they are different, there's a mismatch, we get offended. But the Bible is saying, how can we deal with these things? And so let me go a little bit further looking at a clash of expectations. Now, so feeling offended can stem from a perceived violation of what we believe is the right and accepted. Now, when we look at scripture, scripture doesn't exactly, and this, some of these things we need to begin to spend time on. Scripture doesn't define how you must live, you must believe. And there are certain things we would call, they are neutral. They are neither sin, I hope you get what I'm saying. They're just like neutral. It's just a lifestyle. And so when God looks at those things, he doesn't see anything wrong. And there could be just cultural things. But these cultural things define how we look at the world and how we look at things. And so sometimes, because of your worldview, the way you look at things, the lenses through which you look things, can make you clash with other people that look at things differently. And yet, there's nothing wrong. You know, culture is dynamic. Now, I mean, let's just imagine we think about maybe the guys that were born in the 60s and how they looked at things, and they looked at things different from the younger generation. In the olden days, I wouldn't stand here and call every one of you guys. I would actually be disciplined. Okay? In the olden days, you don't stand here. In fact, I remember some of those years back, if even preaching, you don't preach. I mean, these were churches. You don't preach. You have to be in a suit. And if you are going in an office, you take off your hat. And nowadays, it's fine. And we have boys that... there are a lot of things. And one thing that comes into my mind is actually in terms of cultural things, that can be very interesting and offensive. You know, culturally, especially in our context, in those days, in our families, when your mom and your dad is speaking to you, you are a child, you don't look into their eyes as they are speaking. You have to look down. That is respect from our side here. And so she's talking or he's talking, I look down. And I'm just going there, yes. Maybe if I've got a stick, maybe I'm even scratching down there. Yes, ma'am. Or yes, dad. I don't do that to an American. Because she wants you to look at her, in her face. You know what you interpret when you look somewhere? Is you're not listening. And so she'll take offense. Now imagine, because this is a cultural difference. Okay, so this Zambian guy is actually fearing to look at the boss because I respect my boss. So I must respect her. I can't be speaking back, in fact. And then this American person, sorry if you're American here, I'm not picking on you. I'll say sorry later on. So she's saying, look at this one. She is not paying attention. And so we can actually take offense. And so in this case, there could be clashes of expectations, but also sometimes it's perceived insults. You know, out of the example that I've given you, you see this, the other one wants to be looked into the face as paying attention. And the other one says, no, because you are my boss. I can't look into your face and just respond to you. And the other one is being forced to look at his face, at her face, and she's saying, this is disrespect. And the other one is saying, if you don't look at me, you are disrespecting me. What happens there? Both of them are perceiving something as an insult. And you can get offense, even in our context. It's very interesting. Gospel Central Church is actually a church that has got a cross-cultural setup. And so we have our friends coming from the Afrikaners, our very direct people, and they just speak issues. They go in, and sometimes you are a Zambian guy, a Zambian lady. It's like, why should you say that? What has happened? Then you go back, you are offended. The way that guy speaks, very unspiritual. And then he also goes, and those guys, it's like, he's even looking somewhere else. Does he even think? How can he ignore me? He's very unspiritual. I know there's nothing unspiritual. We are just different. And when God is looking at us and we are offended and he's saying, you have a problem. Either both of you have a problem. Insecurities. Sometimes people become very oversensitive because of their past hurts and offense. And because maybe their self concept is challenged. And so you feel, and then you become angry. That is a reality. Values and beliefs, this is a big thing. This is a big thing even in our context. You know, there are certain times you come to a meeting, a church like ours, and because of the way we do things, which is different from the way you have done church, it can become offensive to you. Do we agree? Why do these guys do things like this? Why is this eldership like this? And sometimes it does nothing. It's just a belief system. For example, maybe you believe that worship every time must be, people must be seated in the chairs. And in here, these guys, whatever has influenced them and how they look at things, they're forcing you come in front. You have to dance and all that, and that becomes an issue. You cannot even defend it in scripture. We don't even know how they gathered and worshipped in the New Testament. I mean, the early church. It's just a value system. And some of these things are carried as cultural things. And so we can get offended based on the values. And some of these values are not coming from the scripture. It's just the way we've been brought up. Because you believe maybe that in the church, you can't hug and you know, when we are coming from the certain setups, we don't even greet certain people, or maybe the elder must not go there and all that, and it can become an offense. I remember serving somewhere. I think I was very difficult to handle. So after the meeting, they expected me, you're the preacher, man, you're the pastor. I was the pastor in that context. So after the meeting, I have to go and sit. And it's done. And the elders now deal with those things. And so I would come at the end of the meeting, I am out. And I begin to shake hands with the young people, the youth. And so the elders would sit me aside and say, no, pastor, you're not supposed to be doing that. And I'm like, I'm supposed to relate and talk to the flock now. There should be protocol. And so there should be a way that things are done. And it became an offense. And so cultural values and beliefs can be an issue. But there are just certain people that are emotionally sensitive. Some individuals may be more sensitive to negative emotions or criticism, making them more prone to feeling offended. That is how sometimes it happens for some people. So I hope you are already checking and you are wondering where you are, where you belong, and the challenges that you have as we relate. What makes you get offense quickly? Why is it that you go quickly? Okay. Let's deal with the reality. Okay, we have seen why people get offended, isn't it? What is the reality of offense? The truth of the matter is, We offend people every day by our actions. By our speech, and mostly when we don't intend to offend them. Just the way you speak. And probably as I'm standing here, some of you are already offended. You are offended by my stature. Maybe you are even offended by my accent.
Love you, Justin.
Thank you very much. Sometimes you could be offended by my leadership style and all those things and many things. But each one of us in one way or another, we offend. So in the morning you offended somebody. And especially married people, oh my God. If you're not yet married, please pray. Without knowing, you miscommunicate something to your wife. And then you're expecting something to be done, and she does something else. And you say, but I didn't say this, and she goes, but this is what you said. And something starts from there. Hey. Children, we offend them without knowing. And you're... I'm a victim of that. I'm actually reminded, this was just last week, I was seated somewhere and I was dealing with some of these issues, and I didn't expect my child to come, and this was an inconvenience, and the boy comes very humbly. He was very humble. I'm just sharing, I'm being open with you guys, but don't judge me. I'm just talking about offense here. And the boy comes and he's asking, Dad, I want the keys for the car. And What flashed in my mind? First of all, I'm this boy. Why has he come here? I'm busy. And then I go, I just look at him, and my voice must have been very firm. I just said, no. And that's the last born, and he just shrink. And just walked out. And I felt like, oh. But he was already gone. And lucky enough, the cousin came. And said, we want keys. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. If there's a big person, should get. And then I gave the keys. Later on, I had to apologize. Sorry for how I've dealt with you. We do these things with our kids, but I don't know whether we actually ask for forgiveness from them. We offend people. That is the reality. What I'm saying is, we offend people even when we don't intend to offend them. You are an offender. By default, we are all offenders. I am an offender. But the other reality is, we feel offended by people, mostly for no reason. So we offend people. We also are offended by people for no reason. It's just the same way. Do you know what this brings us to? It's the fact that no one is immune to offense. We are at the same page. Offenders and the offended. So if you are offended, don't go, hey, that one offends me. You are also an offender. That's why you must be very humble. The other reality about offense is keeping offense against a person is a sin. So we have done these things, isn't it? We have looked at this angle and that angle. Keeping offense against anybody is a sin. And this is what we see Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 4. Do not keep something against somebody. It is a sin. So whether you have been offended or whether you have offended, don't keep it. Go to that person. I think we are going to deal with that later on in details. It is a sin to keep offense. How then do we deal with offense? So we have dealt with offense, isn't it? And I want us to agree before we deal with this thing. All of us are offenders. Do we agree? And all of us are offended for no reason. And in most cases, because of the way we look at things, even when there is no sin. But then the Bible says, keeping offense is a sin. Offended, or you have offended. How do we deal with offense? Now, Matthew chapter 5, quickly, verse 22 to 24, is trying to give us something here. And verse 22, it says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Jesus is interacting with people here. And he says, again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, or silly, stupid, is answerable to the court in that context. That's how serious it is. And it's moving from one degree to another. And he goes on and he says, and anyone who says, you fool. You know how many, that man is a fool. Have you ever used that word? Especially to your children. Fool. And Jesus Christ says, you will be in danger of the fire of hell. And he goes on, he says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Can I add here? Or you remember that you have something against her or him. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Now here, of course, what comes into our picture is the, you know, where we do our bride, like similar to what happens, you know, you sacrifice and all that. We do not have that sacrifice anymore. It is a picture of worship. It's a picture of having to talk to God, whether at home or anywhere. Each time you remember you want to pray to God, each time you remember you have to worship those singers. You love singing, isn't it? And sometimes we want to sing and memorize verses and scriptures, but we are still keeping our faith. We don't realize that those things go nowhere. Because the picture we have here is basically, before you come to me, before you go to Father and worship Him, make things right. And so if you have offense and you've kept it for 2 weeks, your prayers have been reaching the ceiling board and bounced back. It's no wonder you feel dry when you are worshiping. They are cut off. But then this is what he says. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. In fact, we are shown how we must deal with offense in this case. So number one is, don't worship God before we deal with offense. That's how we must deal with it, isn't it? So when you worship God with offense, you are not worshiping Him. Because already, cut. Bouncing there. The other thing that we see here is the element of humility. It's not easy for you to do this, but in you there must be humility to be able to say, whether he has offended me or I have offended him, because I am aware, let me go and say sorry. Forgive me. Let me just say something here. I mean, a lot of things sometimes come. Saying sorry is not a weakness. Men and boys, eh? It is not a weakness. It's actually a strength. But also saying sorry to somebody does not mean what word can I use there? Is it admittance? Or accepting that you are actually guilty of having done something wrong. Are we together here? And because sometimes we take it that way. Because he said sorry, so he accepted. And so he must be punished for that. Sorry here is to realize that my friend, even if I was right, didn't take it well. So I must make things right with them. And then we deal with the issue of settling the matter. So you cannot settle the matter when there's tension. And so it's not a weakness. It is actually a strength. And then after you have, Jesus Christ says, forgive one another, just like God has forgiven you. And Paul is saying, in your anger, do not sin. Again, when there's an offense, and sometimes we put words and speak about certain things which God has not spoken. Getting angry is not wrong. All right? And so don't feel bad that you are angry. It's an emotion that is already there. God gets angry. Jesus got angry. There's nothing wrong with getting angry. But your anger should not last. It should end within 30 seconds. It's what you do with anger. It's what you do with anger which matters. So Paul is saying, but in your anger, do not sin. Then you begin to ponder on that. Why did he do this? Why didn't he do this? Why didn't she do this? She will see it and all that, and hey, that is destroying you. You are sinning. Oh, let's wait. He will see. She will see. They will come back to me. They will not. And you live in your sin. And God is saying, no, we can't live like that. You are living an opening for the devil. And so as we are looking at this subject of offense, Scripture is very clear about it. It is a reality. You and me are offenders. And you and me are objects of offense. Even when we have not intended. Even when we have not displayed ourselves to be targets. But in it all, Scripture says, whether offended or you have offended, we must be humble enough to make things right before we move on. And I don't know, I just feel like I think us men need to be told about this, first of all. Because somehow, because of how men have been raised, especially in our context and in Africa, you know, we don't cry. Isn't it, Mr. Piri? I don't know how many times my wife has seen me cry. I cry when I'm alone. Before her, I must be strong. But men, it's like it's not easy to say sorry. I want to say, let us learn from what Scripture is telling us. It's not only for a man. It's not only for a woman. It's all of us. We must learn how to say sorry and ask for forgiveness and make things right. The Bible is very clear. Married ones, we men, if you have not dealt with issues with your wife, it doesn't matter what you do. The Bible says, if there is still that, it doesn't matter how you pray, how much you save, God says he will not answer your prayers. You will work as hard as you want to work, there will be no blessing. You wake up in the morning, go and bring money, it will not bring peace in the house until you deal with offense. Boys, let's humble yourselves. And say sorry to your small CC. Is it a baby sister? You call them baby sisters. Go there and say, baby sister, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think you are actually right. And even your big sister. It is very important. Otherwise, you will not move on. There's no blessing in walking in offense. I don't know what offense you have against whoever within the community of the church. And maybe you have offense against the church, maybe the leadership, maybe your brother, your uncle, your dad. You are not helping yourself. You are hindering your growth. You are hindering your prayers. Deal with offense as soon as possible. The Bible says, forgive one another just as God has forgiven you. Your posture should be like that of God. Though he is God himself, who is holy, and he says, I do not tolerate sin. He is very holy, but his posture is that of welcoming those that come in repentance. But we can see God in Isaiah. He is the one who actually initiates. Guys, our nature is to go out, sin and hammer, and do everything that we want to do. And we go on and on, but God comes through. Even with his Holy Spirit, he still invites us, come and let us reason together. Let us settle this matter. This must be your posture. This must be my posture if we have to progress in our spiritual life. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help me to have this posture. Forgive, just like God has forgiven you. If it weren't that, all of us in here, we have no exception. All of us here wouldn't have been here. But God has been very gracious. Very gracious. I know myself. I know where I'm coming from. Before I become a Christian, what I did. But even the things that I've done after knowing Christ, we still have those times, isn't it? But God has been very gracious. I don't know where you are at, how you see this subject of offense. But this morning, I want us to ponder and to think, what offense do I have? Against who? The other thing is, who is it that feels offended by me so that I can go and make things right with them? So as we'll be worshiping, I'll ask the band and Gordon will pick it up. I want us to reflect on that. Because this is a serious matter. We need to deal with these things. The gravity of the matter is seen on the fact that if you keep your offense, then you cannot progress with your relationship with God. God cannot answer your prayers. We don't know how many prayers you have had, how many prayers you have prayed. Maybe the answer you have been looking for is in what God is saying today. You have not forgiven your father because he abandoned you when you were young. You have not forgiven your wife because he actually misused that money you were supposed to use on the project. You have not forgiven your husband for those things that he has done. You have not forgiven your lecturer, and because he made you fail that course. You know the course I'm talking about, and you are very sure. You have not forgiven that boyfriend. He lied to you. You have not forgiven maybe the judge or the elder how they dealt with your issue with that other person. You feel they didn't, they were not fair enough. What is it? The Lord is saying, bring it to open and deal with it. And we shall not leave this place until that is done. Because our desire is that heaven can be opened for us and we can have fellowship. Otherwise, we are a bunch of pretenders that come here whose worship and prayers reach the ceiling and bounces back to us. And we go back the same way we came. May the Lord help you. Amen. Amen.